I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Way maker, way maker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. God, I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, 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 miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop, 'cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Way maker, way maker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Tell him tonight. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop, 'cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Way maker, way maker, way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We love you, Jesus. We're so glad to be a part of your family. We're so glad to be on the A team, the Jesus team, Lord. Oh, we just want to thank you for the Holy Ghost in us, on us, around us, with us. Thank you for the angels that are everywhere with us, Lord. We want to thank you for giving us our own free will. We can serve you or go back. Lord, as for me and my house, we will serve you. We will serve the Lord. We thank you for a church full of people that want to put you first every day and follow your plan. And Lord, preach the gospel, get people saved, get people delivered, get people healed. Thank you, Lord, for your plan for our lives, your plan for this church, your plan for this city. Lord, we just want to thank you. We're going to be right in the middle of it. Do what you put in our hearts to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. You know, I was thinking, singing a song like that there, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's all wet. Amen. That song do anything for anybody besides me? Children, you can be dismissed. Follow Mr. Dillon's. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm so excited to get to come to a church that has services on Wednesday night. You know, I don't know how it happened, but several years ago, a lot of churches decided it wasn't necessary to have Wednesday night service. I guess they thought maybe the devil takes off on Wednesday, so you don't need to work. Well, guess what? He's working all the time, but the greater one's in us, and we got to feed our faith. We got to get our minds renewed. We got to walk close to Jesus. As long as we do that, Satan will always stay under our feet. But as soon as you take your eyes off the ball, you're going to lose. So I'm so glad that our church is open. I'm so glad we're on live for people to see us out there to get the Word of God. And, you know, I don't brag on me. I brag on the Word. In my family, in my life, I've seen what the Word of God will do if you get the Word in your heart. Speak it out of your mouth and act on it, live in it. It'll change your life forever. I want you to open up to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And if you're taking notes, the title is "The Key is to Speak the Plan." That'll make a lot of sense to you as we get into it. But the key is to speak the plan. I'll give you a chance to get through this. I'm going to look at the NIV. Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV says this: "For I know," this is God talking, he's talking to his people, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And so when I was writing this out this morning, the Lord gave me some questions to ask you. Number one, and this is not a set-up question. I never ask set-up questions to embarrass anybody and say, well, what's that mean to you? But I like to provoke your thinking. But we see this verse right here, Jeremiah 29:11, that tells you that the Lord has good plans for his people. I'm one of his people. How about you? Hey, man, he says he wants you to have a hope and a future to prosper you. So here's the question. How many of you, now listen, have never heard this verse before? Just be honest. I just want to see. Has anybody here never heard it? One never heard it? Anybody else? Another never heard it. And so he says right here that that's his plan. So it's nice to hear something like that for the first time. I mean, that's how faith comes, by hearing the Word of God. And it helps me to hear that God has a plan. I remember, I can't get sidetracked too much because it's Wednesday night, but I'd already pastored for years and years and years and years. I was on TV. We had the fastest growing church in the city where we were at, and I was personal friends with the county sheriff, the chief judge, chief of police, mayor. They all come to our church and visited and preached sometimes and things like that. I went out to eat with them, had a successful church, and then we took a big hit. And our church crashed, pretty serious hit. I wasn't as mature as pastor as I thought I was, and I wasn't able to handle things like I thought I could. That last year we was going good. I did 13 funerals of leaders and everybody else, man. I mean, we were under attack, and we didn't handle it right. And so anyway, to feed my family, I kept on pastoring, doing what I was supposed to do, and I started driving a mail truck. And so every afternoon, I had to pick up the mail in Indianapolis, take it to Cincinnati, Ohio. And I had to stay over there for 3 hours in between the next load coming back for Indianapolis. And I had a lot of time on my hands to pray and think and Boy, after a couple of years of doing it, I stuck with the call. I was preaching every time I was at our church. I was preaching, still preaching. What a lot happened because it was dead. And so anyway, I remember I'd lay there so many times on the floorboard of that semi and I'd say, Lord, you said you got a good plan. I said, I'd like to know it too. And then I just know in my heart, God's got a good plan. I said, well, I'm glad you know. If you tell me, we'll both know. No, I'm serious. I've been down the road before and where some of you are right now. You're thinking, well, I hear these verses and life looks hopeless, but in my heart of hearts, I know. And I prayed that prayer pretty frequently because I had nothing but time on my hands. All I had time to do was get off work the truck and I'd wear suits. I'd throw my suit on and go preaching. And then a lot of times on Sunday afternoon, after getting in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with the mail wrap on Sunday and get over there, preach Sunday morning, they'd have me do the nighttime thing on Sunday. It wasn't my regular thing. And so I'd get done preaching and I might have time to eat a meal with my family and I'd jump back in the truck and I was going again. And so all I did was drove the mail truck, preached, and my family got upset because with the post office, I didn't get off for Christmas or Thanksgiving or holidays. They had us work all the time. They paid us for doing that plus a regular pay, made more money. I didn't want the more money then. I wanted my family. And so I had to stick with that thing. I just remember all those times I cried out. I remember my exact words. Well, I'm glad you know. Tell me and we'll both know. And, you know, I was doing everything I could to stay positive and not crash spiritually. But I made it, glory to God. I didn't know the plan was going to be 2,000 miles from there, but he sent me to California. Amen. How many are glad we came out here?
Amen.
And so I'm telling you right here what he says. He's got those plans. So anyway, how many of you have heard this before? We ought to see about all the hands go up. I was going to say, if I don't see a hand go up, I'm thinking you're sleeping. Amen. So most of you have heard this before. And so then let me ask you this. How many of you on the inside of your heart know the plan or at least feel like you know the direction in life you need to go to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life? Raise your hand. If on the inside of you, you either know the plan or at least you know the direction you're supposed to be heading. Amen. I know that for me, the only plan I knew before I was a born-again Christian was to be a Teamster truck driver, drink beer, and act like dad. And then when I was too hungover, I had my wife call in for me. That's how I grew up. My dad would have my mom call in for him because he was too drunk. He was a good provider. He always worked. But that's what I saw. From the day I got born again, I started going to a Pentecostal church in Indianapolis. I remember, as soon as eternal life came into my spirit, I knew I wanted to do what they was doing. And you know, I'm sure that's not what all of you think, or you'd be out preaching somewhere doing it, but you see something you see yourself doing. You know, some of you might see yourself singing. Some of you might see yourself working with youth. Some of you might see yourself changing professions or careers, headed a whole different direction with your life. But the whole thing is, when Jesus moved from the outside to the inside, because when you're born again, Jesus on the outside knocking, saying, let me in. And then when he gets inside, he says, let me out, because he wants you to do something. Yeah. That's pretty good, Dave. Write that one down. I want to remember that one. Yeah. Hey, man, let me in, let me out. Hey, that's gospel, isn't it? Amen. Amen. And you know, you let him out, you start following his plan. Lay down your plan and say, Lord, my plan sucked. Amen. I want your plan. And so that's what we're looking at tonight, that God has a plan. And I want to ask you again, just really, on the inside of you, you may not have clarity on what you're supposed to do, but at least you ought to have a general idea. I need to change the direction I'm going, and this is what I want to look at doing. And so I always saw myself preaching. It took a lot of years to get there, but I'm doing now. Way above what I thought I would do then. I didn't think the Lord would ever send me to the land of fruit and nuts. But I guess he needed another nut, so here I am. No, that was not at all my radar to ever leave Indiana. I was out there 54 years. And I didn't know anything about California, except we had the news out there. And every once in a while, they'd break in, and they'd have a goofy car going down the interstate out here with the helicopter up there filming it, and about a dozen police cars behind it going real slow. And out in Indiana, we didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. If you're chasing a crook out there, you got him. You didn't play games with him. You got him. And they knew that, so we didn't have a whole lot of that. But that's about what I knew about California. So he sent me out here. But guess what? We got our future and hope. It came to pass. He prospered us. It came to pass. Our children out here now serving God with us. It came to pass. It all happened. And so regardless of where you are spiritually today, it doesn't make any difference if you're a new Christian or maybe you're not even a Christian yet. God's talking to you right now. Or maybe you're a very mature Christian, or maybe you're a Christian that's been kind of in the middle. Sometimes you're like that guy I told you about. Sometimes you're that guy. You show up preaching to people, then sometimes you show up cussing them. Doesn't make any difference where you're at. God still has the plan. It's our job to get hooked up with. So anyway, regardless of where you are, I want to teach you how to see and know. How to see and know God's plan and God's purpose for your life, and how you can cooperate with Him to see it fulfilled. How many want to see that plan fulfilled? Amen. I don't want to wander around blind spiritually, not knowing what to do, where to go, how to do it. I want to see it come to pass. And so I've learned some things out of the Bible. I'm not just a Sunday school teacher. I'm what Ephesians chapter 4 says, a fivefold ministry gift. I've got the gift of God on the inside of me from Jesus to help you understand the Bible, to teach it in a way that you won't just leave here saying, wow, that was good. You'll leave here saying, I got answers. And now I know what to do. And that's what we're after. And so anyway, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sharpen your pencil. Have your pen out. Take notes. This is really a very good chapter, and I was thinking about this chapter this morning, just reading it for myself, because lots of it ministered to me. But in line with what we're saying about following God's plan for your life, that you've got to speak the plan, I want you to look at verse 6. And he's talking about the wisdom of God. I'm going to show you a couple different kinds of wisdom he's talking about. Howbeit, we speak, I circled that. That's a key to everything in your spiritual life. I mentioned a while ago over the offering time about speaking the word of God about your money. And if you went there very long, or if you studied the Bible very much, you've seen over and over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, your life is controlled by what's in your heart and what you speak. You can have faith in your heart, but if you never speak it, you won't see much happen. You can have love in your heart, but if you don't speak it and act on it, nothing much is going to happen. And so here we're talking about some things that's really going to show you how to see the plan of God begin to come together in your life. How bit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature. Yet look at this, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. And so the wisdom of God is talking about the plan of God. This is talking about the written plan right here. The wisdom of God is referred to the written word of God in this verse right here. I'll show you why. He says, howbeit we speak the wisdom, yet not the wisdom of this world. Well, there's only two kinds of wisdom, worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And so, howbeit we speak, that's key. And so you need to constantly be speaking victory verses that the Holy Spirit shows you. We're not going to speak the plans of the world. We're going to speak the plans of God, the wisdom of God, the plan of God. Amen. The world has one kind of wisdom, plans. How many know that right now there's a lot of people controlling the world with their plans, but not the plans of God? And too many Christians let the wisdom of the world control their lives, the plans of the world. You know, there's so many things. I think about back when pandemic was on, you just hear constantly, everybody's saying it. And I don't, I'll say, no, they're not. I'm not saying it. I'm saying what God says. No plague come nigh my dwelling. Well, everybody has to get it. Everybody has to get it. I say, no, they don't. I want to get what God's got. And so we have to understand you need yourself to begin to see the written plan of God. God has a written plan that's a general plan for every life, for every human being. The number one part of God's plan is call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's for sinners. That's for whatever religion it is in the whole world. You call upon the name of Jesus to be saved. And then once that happens, then you're stepping in the first phase of your life for real. Amen. And so then there's the written plan, but we're going to look here now at the unwritten plan, which is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, His plan personally for you. He has a personal plan for everybody. Everybody is not called to go to college. Some people are. Amen. Everybody is not called to come to this church. Some people are. Everybody's not called to work at Walmart. Some people are. And God has a personal plan for everybody, and shame on anybody that pissed out on somebody else because they're not following the plan that they're following. Amen. Amen. I've got several of my children that went to college. My parents made me quit school at 16 years old so I'd go full-time working. I was already pretty much working. I started working when I was 8 years old. But anyway, the job I was on, I went to full-time working. But you know what else I did? They made me quit at 16. I started going to night school and I graduated at 17. I spent my last year and a half in school to get through school. I'm one of the very few in my family who made it that far. Talking about out of seven brothers and sisters. And so I knew in my heart that I wanted to finish school. And my dad and mom, they people came through the depression, but the depression stayed in them. And so that's all they knew was work. And so they thought that school was so worthless, so useless, they made me quit school. So they made me quit school. I went to the office of school, told them I had to quit, but I went to sign up for night school. And so I finished the last year and a half working all day long, then going to school all night long, and they get up and go the next day, did it all on my own because it wasn't in my parents' plan. Amen. I'm glad I did. It helped me in life. But what I'm saying is this, that my kids that went to college, that was God's plan for them. And so I'm not going to put down on my other kids that didn't go to college. My wife and I, we have eight. Some went to college, some didn't. That doesn't make one better than the other. That's what I'm saying. I'm just speaking right off my heart to parents and to believers. You find out what God's plan is. I'm going to show you how. And then you follow the plan, and then don't throw stones at somebody else that doesn't walk in your footsteps to follow your plan. You know what? How many think that God had a better plan for my life than my parents did? Amen. And do you know that my parents, I was able, because I received Jesus, believe both of them to Jesus before they died. And now they're in heaven now. They didn't believe a whole lot on this side, but they believe now. Amen. Well, I get tired of wrapping myself out up here, but it happens. Amen. And so I want you then to look at verse 7. And then he says, this is critical that you see this. I circled these next two words. We speak. But we speak. It says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory. Now I want you to see this next verse. Which none of the princes of this world knew. The prince of the world is talking about the demons, Satan, the rulers of the kingdom of darkness. They didn't know it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this verse is talking about God's wisdom, God's plan that is hidden from the world, but not from believers. You have to understand God's wisdom in the Word and God's wisdom, God's plan for your life is not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. And you know, so many people say religious things that they've heard that they think is so cool. Well, it's not given for us to know. His wisdom is too far to reach. Well, in the Word of God, whatever he talks about is wisdom. He always says it's wisdom for you. It's given for you to know. He wants you to see it. It's hidden from the devil and his crowd. It says if the devil had known that God's plan was to influence religious people to kill Jesus so that could lead to Satan's defeat, Satan would have never done it. It says had they known, they'd have never crucified Jesus. If the devil would have known that by killing Jesus, he was assured his own defeat, because Jesus is going to go down to hell, strip Satan of his authority, take the keys of death and hell from the devil, and then give them to the body of Christ, the church, to have authority over the devil. He'd never done it. And so in my life, I've always seen this principle at work. The harder the devil's attacked me and the things he's done, I stuck to it and I said, well, Satan meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good, and this is going to lead to Satan's defeat in my life. Amen. Amen, amen. I've just done so many stories I can tell you, but in my darkest hours, I've always known this thing's going to turn the other direction. I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm digging in the Word. I'm digging in my prayer closet, and I'm going to find out what the next step is. I'm coming out of this, and every time what Satan meant to destroy me, God turned around and multiplied me. Amen. Look at this church here today. This is not the little old church that got destroyed in Indiana. This is bigger. More people being influenced. More people's lives are changed than ever before. He thought he destroyed the Samples family back in Indiana. And you've heard some of my kids sometimes tell you how horrible life was for a while there. But some of their best friends turned on them they grew up in church with, and things happened. Because sometimes it's easy to join the crowd that's throwing stones. And hard to stand with the light that's shining the brightest. And so you have to understand the things going on in your life. Satan doesn't know it, or he wouldn't try to destroy in your life, because he doesn't know if you're going to be one of them that sticks with it and gets stronger. He's hoping you're going to be one of them that cuts tail and run. He hopes you're going to turn and quit and run the other direction. But the whole thing is, if you stick with the plan and follow Jesus, then you're going to come out way on top, and then Satan's going to have to stop and back off. His tail tucked between his legs, run the other direction, try to come up with another plan to destroy you. Amen. And so if Satan had known that killing Jesus was God's plan for Satan's destruction, he'd have never influenced those religious people. Does that make sense to you? And so I want you to look at verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. And it says, but as it is written, and this is talking about from the book of Isaiah, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Remember we looked at Matthew chapter 6, things, all these things are added. It says that God has things prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Have you ever heard the expression, when asking directions, you can't get there from here? I was a truck driver for 28 years, so I heard it too many times. But have you ever been talking to somebody, and they're trying to tell you how to get somewhere, they don't know how to get there? And so about the best, they say, well, you can't get there from here. Well, what this is talking about, this verse right here, it says the natural eye hasn't seen the plan of God for your life. The natural ear hasn't heard the plan of God. It says the Holy Spirit is the one that's got the plan. And the only way you're going to get the plan is get close to him. Jesus is the head of what? The church. The Holy Spirit is the one that represents who? Jesus. The Holy Spirit relays from heaven. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit in us will tell us what he hears. Romans 8:14 says, for the ministers are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, through the sons of God. And so he says right here that your eyes aren't going to see it. And so you might as well quit asking your husband or your wife, what's God's plan for my life? You might as well quit asking the preacher, our strong Christian friends, what do you think I ought to do? What's God's plan for my life? Because they're not going to see what you see. There was Christians in my life, when I knew I was called to ministry, all they saw was loser. Matter of fact, my pastor's wife told me, well, you'll never hear her words, you'll never be a pulpit type preacher. She was from the South. I shouldn't mock her. I'm not going to mock her. But that's how I heard, you'll never be a pulpit type preacher. And when she told me that on the inside, I looked up to heaven and I said, Jesus, In my heart, I know you want me to be a preacher. And that's what she said. And so I said, but you told me to submit, so I'm going to submit to her. And so I laid down the call. But guess what? God knew more than she knew. And so I, with my wife's help, she kind of helped push me along the way after, because I kind of got kind of dejected after that in a good way, because I thought, I'm not going to override somebody's authority over me. I'm trusting them. But she was in the flesh. And so if you go around asking people what they think you ought to do, even strong Christian people, they may look at your education or lack of education. They may look at your past of being faithful or not being faithful. They'll judge you on what they see. But God told Samuel concerning the future King David, he said, I don't look at what men see. I look what's on the inside of them. And so God saw me at the Sunshine Inn in the 1970s. I got born again in 1980. God saw me at the Sunshine Inn like a little shepherd David. And then once he got my attention and got me born again, then he was able to put it in my heart. I think probably the day I got saved, I knew I was called to preach because eternal light came in. Amen. I'm preaching real good. Yeah. Amen. And so these two verses right here are telling us that you never know the plan of God for your life by asking anyone, but you can't get God's plan for your life by somebody prophesying to you. I want to tell you that I've seen so many lives wrecked. You don't get God's plan by a prophecy. A prophecy can't confirm what God already put in your heart. And that's always nice, but sometimes you kind of start to lose the vision. God has somebody prophesied to you, but he doesn't say that you're going to be led by prophecy. He said you'll be led by the Spirit of God. He said, you know, the voice of the good shepherd speaking to your heart. And I'm thinking about a couple we knew back where we came from, where our church was. They didn't go to our church, but we knew them. And they were two really good Christian people. But this lady, and they only had one daughter together, but she told us that when they were teenagers, they were at a Pentecostal group that did a lot of everybody prophesy. So they prophesied she's supposed to marry this guy. And this guy was kind of one of the group. But this guy didn't like her, really. She didn't like him. But because somebody prophesied to him, they ran out and got married. And they had lots of years of a married life, but they didn't really have a covenant marriage. He worked. He was a good provider. But there was no love in the marriage. And the wife confided to my wife several times, I'm not going to get out of this because I got into it. And he takes care of us. We got our daughter. We're raising our daughter. But, you know, we never really have husband and wife things because he doesn't really like me and I don't really like him. But we're going to stay married because they prophesied we're supposed to. I know one guy. He was a county sheriff. He was a Christian friend of ours. He was at a big so-called healing service one night, and the prophet told everybody out there that wore glasses, if you believe you're healed, stump on your glasses. This guy wasn't a deputy. He was the county sheriff. And so he told me, after he came to his senses 3 years later, he said, man, I was as blind as a bat the last 3 years. But the prophet told me, if I believed I was healed, he said, I believed I was healed. Everybody else stumped theirs, so I stumped mine. He said, I couldn't even read to write a ticket. I had to guess at everything I was doing. I couldn't tell anybody. I don't know how he shot a gun, I guess. I don't know. I'm glad I wasn't on the other side. Or if I was a crook, it might have been nice to be on the other side. But no, I'm telling you, Christians have got to know there's no shortcuts. You can't be lazy about seeking God. God said, I know I've got good plans for your life. But he tells us right here, 1 Corinthians 2, he says, but your eye's not going to see it. Your ear's not going to see it. He said, but the Holy Spirit is going to reveal it to your heart, to your heart, to your heart. And you can't spend all of your time just doing carnal things, natural things, and hear much from the Holy Spirit. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. You're sealed to the day of redemption if you stay walking with God. But if you want to go further than that, not just want to play guessing games, not want to be playing roulette or something, just let your life go round and round and round she goes. Where I stop, nobody knows. And just, well, I'm going to try this for a while. I'm going to try that for a while. I know that you've heard me tell the story before with that truck driver that I saw years ago before I was a Christian. I still see that guy's face. I sit on a truck dock beside another driver one day, was talking, and that guy's just like me, man. All we was just truck drivers. And he said, I'm working on my second million. Well, you know, you meet a lot of people in life. And I looked at him and thought, man, this guy's a millionaire, but he still drives a truck. He must love to drive trucks. I said, you are? Your second million? Yeah, I gave up on my first one, so I'm starting on my second one. I've seen Christians swear to me, they knew what God wanted them to do, sold out everything, did everything, quit everything, all kinds of things, and started on that ministry God had for them. And then, see him 2 or 3 years later, said, well, I'm working on another ministry. I thought, wow, that grew so much, I was able to hand it off to somebody. I said, wow. Well, how's the other one doing? I gave up on that one. Now God told me to do this. Yeah, wait a minute. God said in James chapter 1, a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. So is God double-minded now that God told you to do this? And so then when the going got rough, you quit? Either that or you didn't hear God. Man, I got some serious looking faces out here. Well, I tell you what, I could raise my hand to tell you a man that missed God 3 times in ministry before he finally got it right. Missed him on timing. Missed him on the type of ministry. And ended up finally got enough sense to stop and do what I'm teaching tonight. Let the Holy Spirit for sure show me the what, the where, the when, and the how. Matter of fact, Gerald Brooks was just here. He mentored me for a lot of years. I mean, way back from a long time ago. And he used to say it like this. He said, if you think you're a leader and you look behind you and nobody's following you, you're just taking a walk. Well, when I thought I was going to have a ministry before I was actually to the place to where God wanted to use me as a pastor, I used to have 2 or 3 people walk with me. But because of lack of anointing and lack of fruit in the ministry, they got tired of walking with me, so I'm back to walking by myself. Is this helping anybody? Hey, man, it's for real. It's for real. Yeah, so anyway, take time to shut your phone, TV, and mouth. Shut your phone, TV, and mouth, and get to a quiet place alone with Jesus and your Bible and your journal if you really want to hear from heaven and his plan for your life. You get alone with Jesus and shut out all the other voices. Now look at verse 11 through 13. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. The things of God is only known by the Spirit of God. He knows. He knows the things of God. Now look at this. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why is that? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We don't have the spirit of the world unless you're still walking in the world. If you're a double agent, you still got the spirit of the world. But you choose to Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of doing things, then the Spirit of God is going to be more open to talking to you. And so it says that we have the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to look at verse 13. It says, which things also we speak. I circle it again. I want you to keep seeing this. When God keeps putting phrases in the Bible so close together, I think he's getting our attention. What things are we speaking? The things that are freely given to us by God that no man knows, but the Holy Spirit knows. He says, supposed to speak these things, not of the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so we speak, it is vital to talk about and speak God's plan for your life. He said, you need to begin to speak the plan. You need to begin to speak the plan. You need to begin to speak the plan. I always, from the time I knew I was supposed to be a preacher, always talk to close friends about what I was going to do. Because it was a plan of God. I didn't know these verses, but I know it now. And then verse 14, here's where you can get in trouble. But the natural man, that means an unsaved person, or that means a Christian that hasn't renewed their mind and cultivated their spiritual life. They still live like a natural man, a carnal Christian that doesn't understand God or how God moves. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God are spiritually understood. And so listen to this. This is going to help a whole lot of you. Be selective about telling unsaved or carnal or backslid people what God shows you. Amen. You know what? There might be people that go to this church with you. They might be counterfeits. I don't know. There might be people coming here, hallelujah, hallelujah, praising the Lord, that tomorrow they're going to be in the bar. Are they going to be hanging out with very, very unsaved people that live like the world lives? And so you tell them what God's showing you, they're going to tell you, well, you can't do that, man. That doesn't make any sense. The things of God that God has us do many times does not make sense to an unsaved person. I know that, for one thing, if I needed financial counseling, I wouldn't go to somebody in the world even if they was a millionaire, because they see I give 10% to the church and offering the things I give, they're going to tell me, man, you're wasting that money, invest it. Amen. And a Christian that live by their head and not by their heart, they're going to think it's wrong to give God 10% too. They're going to tell you, why are you giving it to that church? You use it on yourself. The things of God do not make sense. The things of God are revealed to our hearts as we read the word of God. And so we'll speak the plan, but watch out who you're speaking to. You don't know how many people in my family come against me when I walked away from that security, that Teamsters job, and become a pastor. Some of them still think I'm nuts, but they don't see the fruit now. But the thing was, how could you leave that job and pastor that little church? How could you do that? Don't you know your family's going to suffer? Well, my family stayed drug-free. My family stayed out of jail. My family stayed out of gunfights and knifings. Others didn't. Most of my family didn't turn out too good because things didn't make sense to them. And so you've got to watch out who it is you talk to or what you talk about. So anyway, be selective, but continue to speak the plan. Well, who do you speak the plan to? Number one, you talk it to Jesus. And number two, your close Christian friends that are real Christians. Your close Christian friends that aren't going to judge by what they see, but what they know in the heart. They see your character. They see your walk. And real Christians can hook up with it. One thing I've never done as a pastor, I've never put the fire out of anybody that told me what God was showing them. How do I know what God's showing them? They're the ones that have to know what God shows. All I can do is encourage, exhort, pray, lay hands on them, and just let them know, glory to God, I'm so glad God showed you that. Then I say something, sometimes I'll say something like this, joking, hey, when you get rich and famous, remember me. Amen. And so anyway, we're about to place a wrap it down, but the main thing I wanted you to see on there, how many times that he said, we speak, we speak, we speak, we speak. Jesus said, you'll have whatsoever you say. As he said, the things the Holy Spirit shows you, you need to start talking to them, because God needs us to speak out of our heart for our born-again spirit, anointed words that change things. When God saw the earth was dark, what did God say? Let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be life. God saw it, then God spoke it. Amen, amen. Let me just throw these verses out at you to write down and check them out later. The keys to speak the plan, and here's some verses to help you. Luke 1:37-38. And very simply, God, through Gabriel, told Mary, the Virgin Mary, what the plan was. Told her that he wanted her to carry the Christ seed, have that baby. And Gabriel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so when God gives you the plan, you need to look at verses like that. With God, nothing shall be impossible. At verse 38, and then Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. And so you need to begin to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Romans 8:31, write this down, says, all these things come to get you. And then it says, what shall we say to all these things? And that's Romans 8:31, talking about all the things come against a person. So what shall we say? We shall say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm telling you things to do for your vision to come to pass. And then 1 Corinthians 4:13 says the spirit of faith believes and then says. The spirit of faith believes and then says. So if you stick a hold of these things, the key is to speak the plan. Speak the plan, speak the plan, speak the plan, and get victory verses off the pages into your heart, coming out of your mouth. And I guarantee you, from where we came from in Indiana to where we are here, I never saw all this. I thought I saw some things, but not what's going on now, because we kept on speaking it, kept on talking it, and God saw all of you and lots of other people, and he put it in your heart, you need to go there. And got you in here, you got victory, and now the people you're influencing, you tell them, you need to go there, because that's where they get the victory and the plan. The plan is for God to use you. Amen. We're going to bring them out Sunday, aren't we? Yep. Amen. Let's stand up. Okay, real quick book test. Open book test. What's the key? Speak. Speak the plan. Not speak the doubt, unbelief. And who do you share the plan with? Faith people, faith people, faith people. Because whatever Christians, I've seen so many families destroyed and friendships because they go telling things that God showed them. And sinners and carnal Christians go around telling everybody else, they went off the deep end now, they're really nuts. Nope. They dumped him deeper because God said, Peter, you come walk on the water, and I'm going to walk on water. Amen. All right. As we worship the Lord in closing, altar team. Is my thing still working? There we go. If you need prayer for anything, come up here. And also at the same time, what did I just teach on? Speaking the plan. All right. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. Word of God. We just heard the word of God about the plan for your life. And so when we teach on something, there's anointing for that. If I would have taught on salvation and getting saved, you expect sinners to get saved. If we taught on healing, people getting healed or get delivered, you expect people to get delivered, people get healed. Well, we would expect that if God had me teach on the plan, and knowing the plan, there'd be anointing for that. And so if you want to have hands laid on you concerning God's direction, God's plan for your life, in that category, come up here. I don't want to lay hands on you for those things. And if you want prayer for anything else, then go up and see one of these other people. But I specifically want to lay hands on people that want to have clarity and want to have something else to help them right now. Amen? Amen.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are.
each and every one. I worship you. I worship you. You are here in every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Did anybody get blessed tonight besides me? Hallelujah, I did. Man, I tell you what, Chuck, I never like telling my own stories. But the stories help people, so that's what happens. God knows that. But, man, I hope he doesn't have me tell too much more about myself. Say preachers live in glass houses. I know why now, because we rat ourselves out. But the good thing is, they come up with testimonies to show you that all the men and women of the Bible that you read about, they were just like us. They had battles to fight, and some of them won and some of them quit. But you know, it's like the old saying, it sounds good, but it's true. A winner never quits and a quitter never wins. You can never be a quitter and see God's full plan come to pass in your life. You got to stick with it no matter what it is. Live like a Christian. Stay faithful. Stay in the Word. Stay being a praying person. Stay loving other people. The day you quit loving people like Jesus loves people is the day you're on a nosedive to crashing. Amen. That stuff's all free. That wasn't part of the regular thing, but you got it anyway. All right. Let's make our Barstow faith confession. We declare that Barstow is a blessed city. Our families are blessed. Are blessed. Churches are blessed. Barstow is healed. Barstow is surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Barstow is full of love, joy, and peace. Barstow is full of the glory of God. Barstow is coming to Jesus. Barstow is saved. In Jesus' name, amen.